And we're going to be looking at a fascinating passage of Scripture. I've called this message today, Surviving Jealousy, and it's the well-known chapter of Daniel in the Lion's Den. I've tried to make this message as kids-friendly as I can make it. I have some stuff for us adults, too, but hopefully the kids will be able to understand what's going on and be able to follow along and get something from it, too. A little bit about historical background. Darius was a powerful king in the countries of Persia and Babylon. People who dig in the ground, we call them archaeologists, and people who study old books, we call them historians, have not heard about this Darius. Their studies tell them that Cyrus the Persian was king during this time. They think the Bible is wrong here. Well, we know the Bible's never wrong. It's just that we don't understand enough to be able to know what's going on. Here are some ways we can handle this problem about who is Darius the Mede. I mentioned briefly about this last Sunday. Here's one suggestion. It may be that Darius is another name for Cyrus. That is a real possibility. We know people today, important people, who have more than one name. For example, Pope Francis of the Catholic Church was born by another name entirely, and the popes always change names, apparently. It may be that Darius is a title, like Pharaoh is a title for the Egyptians. It may be that Darius is another name for a guy named Ugburu. How'd you like to name your kid Ugburu? That would be exciting. And he reigned over Babylon briefly under Cyrus. It may be that Darius refers to Cyrus' son Cambyses, who lived some years later. He was alive then, but from about 530 onward, he ruled Babylon. It may be that Darius refers to Cyrus' uncle, Cyaxares II. Probably the first suggestion would be the best of those. Darius is another name for Cyrus, and we'll talk about that more later. And in any rate, Darius, we'll call him Darius, his biblical name, was a powerful king in the countries of Persia and Babylon. Persia is now called Iran. That's the country of Iran. We've heard a lot about them. They are threatening to supposedly building nuclear reactors, but we hope that they aren't also making nuclear weapons. We recently have been fighting in the country of Afghanistan. That's where Afghanistan is. This is the country of Iraq. And that's the modern country of Babylon, the ancient country of Babylon. Babylon is now called Iraq, and Persia is now called Iran. We have a special interest in that part of the world. That's the little country of Qatar, and the capital city is Doha. And our favorite Qataris, Dave and Jen, and their son Alex, live there. King Darius wanted to appoint 120 officials to help him run the government, according to the first verse of Daniel 6. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. Just by comparison, our own Senate has 100 senators. Darius called his officials satraps, not senators. And over these 120 satraps, Darius appointed three commissioners or overseers. And verse 2, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Alan Phipps, by the way, used to be a Chase County commissioner. But these commissioners were more important than Chase County commissioners. They were more like vice presidents. Joe Biden is our vice president today. Daniel was one of these three commissioners. And there we have what it might have looked like for these three commissioners to meet with the king. King Darius and his three commissioners. We don't know what Daniel looked like, but he was probably an old man at this time. Daniel did a super job of helping King Darius. In fact, he was so good that King Darius wanted him to be over all the two other commissioners and over the all the kingdom. So the king would be the first in command, and Daniel would be the second. Verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So that was quite an honor for Daniel. And I would encourage us as Christians, no matter what our job is, that we do the best we can to be the best person in that job. Let's not grow lazy. Let's not slack off. Let's be people of character. Let's do such a good job that people want to promote us to a higher position. Daniel, the king wanted to promote Daniel to a higher position. Well, unfortunately, this made the other two commissioners mad and jealous. Not only that, it made the satraps mad and jealous. And probably even their wives were jealous. There's a lesson to learn from this. Even if we try to love Jesus and help other people, some people will still get jealous and mad at us. So don't think that just because you're doing a good job, that will deflect all criticism. Some people will still not like us anyway. We should remember that Jesus will always take care of us. No matter if people appreciate us or don't appreciate us, Jesus will always appreciate us and take care of us. Well, these bad officials were jealous of Daniel, and they tried to look for something bad in Daniel's life. Verse 4 reads this way, then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. They were like politicians today who dig for some dirt in another politician's life so they can write all about it and have the news people talk about it so they can make sure that this person's destroyed in his career and he has to resign or whatever. A recent example in our own country is Herman Cain. He was a black guy who had some very good ideas about business, a successful businessman. And so he wanted to run for president. Well, some politicians, we won't bother saying who, began to dig up dirt upon him and leak things that maybe there were some affairs in his past. And finally, Herman Cain had to resign in disgrace from his position of wanting to run as president. They were trying to do this to Daniel. And the interesting thing is they couldn't find anything wrong in his life. They dug and they dug and they dug. They could not find anything wrong. They looked high and they looked low. But Daniel had such good character, they could find nothing wrong in his life. Verse 4 says they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Negligence means he didn't let things slide that he shouldn't have. And corruption means he was deliberately trying to, you know, get some money from someone, get some bribes or something like that. Nothing. They could find. He did a good job. He always did his work. He did it well. And he didn't try to make any money on the side. He was just a man of great character. So these officials had to give him an A+ for being such a godly man. Well, that wasn't going to stop them. They finally got together and they came up with a plan. They said, we can't find anything wrong with this man unless we can accuse him with the way he keeps the laws of his God. So that's what they tried to do. They said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. So we need to devise some kind of a trap to trap him. And we know what his character is. He will always be true to his God. So if we put a situation where he either has to be true to God or true to the government and make it so he has to make a choice, we know from his character he'll always choose to obey God. So that's the only way we can convict him. So they said, let's try to trap Daniel about the way he obeys his God. That was their plot. They knew that Daniel prayed to God several times a day. They came up with a plan. And they knew that Daniel... So here's their plan. They presented their plan to the king. Verse 6. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. First of all, they gave him a compliment. King Darius, live forever. Now, this word came by agreement is an interesting word. It actually has the idea of kind of a noisy thing. And so you can think of all 120 of these satraps and these two commissioners all coming as a group into the king's palace, into his courtroom where he was holding court, and clomp, clomp, their whatever shoes they were wearing. It was quite a noisy thing. They came, the whole herd of them came together. And this word appears about three times in Daniel chapter 6. Verse 7 reads this way, all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a law and enforce a rule. Now this is 99.5% true. What was not true about it? Not all got together to decide this. Who was absent from that meeting? Daniel. So, if they'd have said most of us, that would have been true. But that would have highlighted, the king might have said, well, who wasn't in on this? Well, Daniel was. I mean, they couldn't have said that. So they lied. They said all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, they all have agreed together that you should do this. And their plot was that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days, I'm going to put a time limit, a really short time limit, only 30 days, he shall be cast in the lion's den. So if whoever broke this law would have to be thrown into the lion's den. So they thought they had their bases covered. Well, they did actually. King Darius was pleased with the new law his officials had proposed. They said, verse 8, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. By the way, if you parents have laws that you want to make in your household, you can say, kids, this is the law of David and Haley, which cannot be revoked. It's like the law of the Medes and the Persians, okay? So you can make laws which can't be revoked. And then when the kids say, oh, can't we do it just this one time? They say, no, it's the law of the Medes and Persians. It cannot be changed. That's it. So there's just something you can do for your families, okay? The king was even flattered. When King Darius, it says that King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. So King Darius, in verse 9, he signed this thing into law. And he must have been pretty flattered by this bill, and he signed it into law. Now we have a problem. What would Daniel do? Well, we already know, we think, because of Daniel's character. In fact, these wicked officials are counting on Daniel's character that he's going to continue to pray to God and not obey the law. But we haven't gotten there in our story yet. Would Daniel keep praying and worshiping God as before? Or would he play it safe and keep quiet? That's an interesting question. We need to ask ourselves a same question. What about us? Muslims, we have observed, are not afraid to pray in public. They do it all the time. In fact, a good Muslim will pray 5 times a day. Now, only the men get to go to the mosque and pray. If the women want to pray, they have to go to a separate place. But they're not afraid to pray in public. Are we afraid to pray in public? I've asked this question before. Some Christians are not afraid to pray in public at a restaurant. They're not afraid to do that. But other people are afraid. Other Christians are afraid to pray in public. What about you? Are you willing to acknowledge in the public that you are a follower of God and that you pray and you Or do you kind of just, when you go to a restaurant, you say, well, I grab my Big Mac here and my fries and my Coke, and I just sit down and I eat and I drink. Let me challenge you. Don't be a coward. I'm not going to come checking up on you. Be bold enough to pray to God in public. Be bold enough to do that. Muslims aren't afraid. Are you more afraid of praying in public than Muslims are? You say, well, most people don't pray. That's true. Most people aren't Christians. But what about you? Are you a Christian? Well, you know what Daniel did? He really didn't change his previous policy. He kept right on praying. What does it say in the scripture? Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, verse 10, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He kept right on praying. He prayed at nighttime. He prayed in the morning. And he prayed at noon. Even though he knew those spies would be watching. He knew these guys well enough to know what they would be doing. Well, in fact, verse 11 says, then these men came by agreement. So they made a whole lot of noise and they all came in together. Apparently, I don't know if they could all fit in his upper chamber, but a whole bunch of them came noisily by agreement and they found him praying. And you know what? He didn't stop praying. He just kept right on. I'm sure they made some comments. Aha, Daniel, you thought you're going to get away with being the top commissioner. Forget it. You are cooked. I hope you like lion's breath, Daniel, because you're going to go. And I'm sure they mocked him and taunted him, but he kept right on praying. What did those satraps and commissioners do then? Well, they went straight to King Darius, and they told on Daniel. Verse 12, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. And notice how they phrase this. They back him into a corner. They start with, didn't you do this, O king? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do this? King, yeah, yes, I did. So they said, did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And the king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they said, well, here's something interesting. O king, Daniel, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but he keeps making his petition three times a day. Well, when the king heard about this, he was absolutely shocked. It never entered his mind about Daniel. And as soon as they said Daniel, he knew right away what Daniel was up to. Because he knew from experience that Daniel was a fervent follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And he knew that Daniel prayed three times a day, and he hadn't even thought about Daniel when he made that law. He was absolutely shocked. And he liked Daniel very much. And he respected Daniel. And he did everything he could to see if Daniel's life could be saved. As soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. He set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Is there some loophole in this law that I can deliver Daniel? Well, what happened then? Well, these guys reminded him, these commissioners and satraps, verse 15, they came by agreement to the king. They all traipsed in together, and by now he could figure out why they were up to this, but there's nothing he could do about it. The law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed, O king. Recognize that. No injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king finally realized, I don't have a choice. Daniel had to be thrown into the den of lions. So the king, verse 16, gave orders. Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king made an interesting comment. He said, last part of verse 16, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Somehow this pagan king had confidence that Daniel's God could deliver him from these lions. Well, what happened then? Verse 17, a big stone was placed over the mouth of the den, and then the king sealed it with his signet ring, and the officials who had signet rings, his nobles also sealed it with their signet rings, so nobody could alter it. This guy had to be in the lion's den. In verse 17, the king went back to his palace. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing might be changed in regard to Daniel. Then, verse 18, the king went off to his palace. And actually what he did was he spent the night fasting. He fasted and he could not sleep. Verse 18, no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. He had a severe case of insomnia. All he could think about was Daniel down there in the lion's den. Would he survive, or would he be eaten alive by those lions? What happened to Daniel then? Well, he was in there in the den of lions. He spent all night with those lions. He was surrounded by lions. Amazingly, the lions did not touch him. Early the next morning, Darius ran. How many kings go out for a run in the morning? This king went out for a run. He ran to check up on Daniel. The king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and he went in haste to the lion's den. And when he'd come near, he asked this question, "O God, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" You know what Daniel said? He said, "O king, live forever." A word of respect toward the king. And he said this, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me." Two reasons. Number one, I was found innocent before him. And also, toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. He kept me alive because I didn't do anything wrong against God, and I have not committed any crime against you, O king. Well, the king was very pleased. He gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. Verse 23. The king was very pleased, gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Just as in chapter 3, the three friends of Daniel escaped that terrible fire and they didn't have any smell of smoke on him, Daniel didn't have a single scratch on him from any lion's claws. Even though they examined him from head to foot, found nothing wrong. And it says that he was taken out of the king was very happy. It says no injury was found in him because he had trusted in his God. So there were three reasons, really. The first reason, Daniel had not done anything wrong against God. He had not committed a crime against the king, but he also had faith. He believed God would take care of him. And in fact, he is alluded to in the Hebrews Hall of Fame, chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, because there it says Some escaped the jaws of lions. Doesn't name Daniel, but we all know who that was. So he's alluded to in the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11. Now the king gave orders, which would make these commissioners and satraps extremely unhappy. They brought those men who had been jealous and had accused Daniel, and they threw them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. There'd be none from those families to take revenge upon the king for having executed their fathers. Everybody would be gone. And the scripture says that the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. So it wasn't any accident that the lions had left Daniel alone, because when they did get people in there, they tore them apart quickly. Now, King Darius sent this message throughout the world. First of all, peace and prosperity to you. All kings and all rulers want their citizens to have peace and prosperity. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. That's the first thing he said. And then he said this, because he is the living God, and he will endure forever, his kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. Sounds very much like what King Nebuchadnezzar had said many years earlier. He kept on. He rescues and saves his people. This is a tremendous testimony about the God that we serve. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That's just amazing. What happened to Daniel after that? So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Some experts translate that verse this way, which is possible. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, even the reign of Cyrus the Persian. That may be the right way to translate that. They see Darius as another name for Cyrus. That's possible. Now, let's come back to us. Daniel stayed true to God, even though some men were so jealous they tried to kill him. Would you stay true to God if you were in the same position as Daniel? Would you risk getting put into a lion's den, or would you just stop praying? You could tell God, you know, God, I'll just pray a quiet prayer to you. I'll just pray inside my mind. And I'll do it while I'm reading my newspaper or, you know, skimming the internet, surfing the web, or maybe while I'm having a meal. I'll pray to you while I'm doing that, but I'm not going to look like I'm praying. Daniel didn't do that. He went right on as he had before. What about you and me? Would we change if our life were on the line? Would we stay true to God? Would you overcome jealousy with obedience? Because these guys are just flat out jealous of Daniel. And you're going to have people who are jealous of you. Will you give in to what they want you to do so they're not jealous at you anymore? Or will you obey God, even if it's your life that's on the line? If our Congress ever made a law that you cannot pray in public, would you obey that law? Or would you disobey the government and pray in public anyway? A few years ago, this question might have seemed pretty dumb, but it's getting where it's not such a dumb question anymore. What if the law said you'd have to go to jail if you prayed in public? You know, our government has made the law that military chaplains cannot pray in Jesus' name. If you pray in Jesus' name and you're a military chaplain, you'll probably get a dishonorable discharge. Be demoted anyway. Maybe barred from being a chaplain. This question is not such an off-the-wall question. If the law said you'd go to jail if you prayed in public, what would you do? Would you only pray inside and never pray outside in public? I hope you'd be like Daniel. I pray God will give you the courage to be true to Him, no matter what the cost is. Acts 4:19 says, it is better to obey God than to obey men. That's what our founding fathers of the church said. It's better to obey God than men. Remember, Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Actually, I think God said that in this quote in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And he said in chapter Matthew 28:20, Jesus said this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus will always be with us. So you don't ever have to think that you're alone if you obey God and disobey man. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if we get killed for our faith in Jesus, so what? That means we get to heaven sooner. There's a song called Dare to Be a Daniel. I didn't get anybody the music for this, but we're going to sing it together. And you can kind of follow along with me. I know the tune pretty well. And we're going to sing the four stanzas and four verses. Would you stand with me as we close with this song, please? Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. I hope you dare to be a Daniel. God bless you. Have a great day.